This is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. Originally broadcast on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Oh, man, am I tired. But, welcome to The Dice Men Cometh. It is episode 168 on the 1st of June, or as most people know it, the 1st of winter. Down in this little old hemisphere.
Hasn't it been winter here for weeks?
Well, winter has come, and that is something that I'm very glad that you are now no longer able to say for at least 3 months.
But right. Winter is coming!
Now, shush, because I've got something much more important. We may be in the presence of greatness here, ooh, and there is only one way to determine who may be the next leader of the free world. Mm. Leon,
yes.
Can you spell coverage for me?
Coverage?
Coverage.
C-O-V-E-R-A-G-E?
Ah, you failed miserably. It's spelled C-O-F. No, C-O-V-F-E-F-E. So I hate to tell you, Leon, that you will not be the leader of the free world, okay, because that result was just horrible. You spelt that so accurately, and I'm very disappointed in you.
Is that what that clown was trying to spell? I thought it was coffee.
No.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was trying to spell coffee, and he got it really right, didn't he?
Either way, I think Sean Spicer says that he spelt it exactly how he meant to. Regardless, you are with the Dice Men Cometh, still episode 168. Tonight with me, Garth, who hasn't been around much lately. I'm sorry, guys.
You literally just got off a plane to come here.
Less than 24 hours ago, I landed. Mark, Leon, welcome. We're going to do what we have been playing on, what Leon has been playing. I've got some iOS updates for you, and then we're just going to talk about Bordercon, because this time next week...
Yeah.
There's not going to be a show.
No.
Because we will be on yet another bloody jet plane to Bordercon. But before we get to that, tonight's episode is proudly sponsored by Polymorph Games and Hobbies. And if you jump onto their website, which is polymorphgames.com.au, go and purchase a board game or a card game, they're currently offering 25% off if you just enter the code STOCKTAKE.
Awesome.
Insanity.
All right, so Leon, have you got a song for us?
I certainly do. It's by a band called Fozzy, led by one of my absolute icons, the man Chris Jericho.
Let's hear it now. That was Fozzy with Judas here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. Proudly sponsored tonight by polymorphgames.com.au, one of Australia's finest online board gaming stores, and a whole bunch of specials putting in that code STOCKTAKE, all in capitals. Now, Trent isn't here, but you've obviously just played a song that...
he'd be proud of.
That he would be proud of, Leon, so well done there.
I've had that song in my head 4 days. It is so catchy.
Yeah, he's done a lot since leaving the Muppet Show, I must say.
Ha, ha, ha.
So speaking of Trent being locked away at home with his family and not being allowed out tonight...
Yeah.
You've also been locked away...
I have. This
...trying to unlock.
See what you did there. You did a thing. It's professional. Nice. So, obviously, escape room in a box, as we've talked about it before, we had a whole episode dedicated to them.
I know.
They've become a thing. And they finally, have. The big companies have gone, I reckon there's money in this. So this is what they've done. So this game, Unlock... is by Space Cowboys, which I believe is also owned by Asmodee.
Well, sure is.
Because I know it's distributed by Asmodee in different countries.
Yeah.
It is a series of 3 different games, which, oddly enough, in the US, you can only buy separately, but everywhere else in the world, they're in a pack of 3
ka-ching.
Together.
Ka-ching. Ka-ching.
Which is ka-ching. Odd. I don't know why they would do that. Because they only take about an hour or so each.
Make more money.
I suppose. That's a fair point. Either way. So, yeah, so there's 3 adventures in the box. They can be played up to about 6 people. We played it with 4. 4's about right. You mm-hmm. wouldn't want to go any higher. Although the one... We've played 2 out of the 3 in the box. The final one we hadn't played, apparently you break up into teams.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting idea.
Ooh.
And that one is between 2 to 6 players, whereas the other ones you could play solo if you wanted. A solo escape room in a box... Oh, that's so sad.
I'm trying to escape from myself.
Aww.
I just think I'd just stay locked in there.
That's probably a good idea. So unlike some
if
of
I had no friends.
So unlike some of the other escape room in the box ones we've played, these, it's just a deck of cards. Each adventure is simply a deck of cards, much like the expansions to Time Stories. Mm-hmm. Just one deck of cards. There's an app that goes with all the games. The app is pretty simply, it's a timer, as well as there are certain codes you'll get throughout the game. You can input them into it, and if they fail, it tells you, and you've got to press a little fail button.
So you don't get a chrono decoder?
No, you don't get a chrono decoder.
I don't like this
which
game at
is
all.
A shame, because as much as we kind of took the piss out of that chrono decoder, they're having the actual physical thing there. We always say about board games, and that's why we yell at you for all these iOS games, is it's nice to have a thing.
Yeah.
So this game, it's just a deck of cards. So there's about four or five different kinds of cards in the deck. There's grey cards. They're more general things like maps. So they'll come out, it'll be at a map of a room, and there'll be other numbers on there which are different grey cards you've got to get from this deck.
Now, just before we get into this, I don't know about this game, and I want to check. Are you doing a spoiler or a non-spoiler talk about Unlock?
I will do a non-spoiler one as much as I can. I'll try not to give any specifics, but I will mention the scenarios that I played.
Perfect.
Yeah. So the two that we played, the first one is called The Formula. The second one is called Squeak and Sausage. Because, of course...
Really?
Yep. And the third one we haven't played is called The Island of Dr. Gorshk, for some reason.
For some reason.
So instead of playing The Formula, which is what they recommend to start with, we went straight into Squeak and Sausage.
I bet you did.
Because it's just got much cooler art. So I'll explain how the game works before I explain each of those scenarios. So as I said, you get your grey cards, which normally lead to you finding other cards. Because if you see a number on a card, it means you can find that card in the deck and bring it out, and it brings you something else. So it'll give you a room. There'll be, say, six other numbers on the card. You get in there, there's six items. So you put them in front of you, and there'll be different kind of items you can use in different ways. So they're yellow cards. These are codes. Now, you might be able to solve them from information on the card, or you might need to find more information in the room. And those codes you put into the app, and it tells you if you're correct or not, and it tells you, you are correct, go find this other card.
Okay.
Because that's kind of how this all works. One card will always lead to another, will lead to another. So that's the yellow ones. And there's the green one, which... green cards, which are machines, which are kind of similar. You've got to try and work out a way to defeat the machine or work out a way around the machine. But to get them to work most of the time, you'll need items. And that's where the blue and red cards come into it. So to get these items, you'll get blue and red cards that each have numbers on them. And what you can do is if those numbers seem to make sense and those two items could go together, you'll say one of them was 13... and one of them was 17, you would then look at the deck that you have and see if there's a card that was 30. And you think, these two go together, and I think that's exactly how you do it. You flip over card 30 if it's in the deck, and hopefully it's those two cards put together.
But the way you would know how those things go together is because they've all got pictures on them, yeah?
They all got pictures on them.
So, for example, using what you've just done, there might be a picture of a key on one card.
Yep.
And that's the picture of a key on card number, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And the other card has a picture of a lock or a safe or a cabinet or something, and you go, well, I might try and put the key into that cabinet and see what happens.
So it's not like the old point-and-click computer game where I say, I put the banana in the shoebox
to get a banana
to make a shoebox banana or something.
No,
like it's not sort of crazy like
no,
that.
Well, no, it is kind of exactly like that, yeah. Except it's you're finding a card in the deck. So if you flip over the card, it will be your banana in the shoebox.
Okay.
Or it will be a card saying, penalty, we saw what you were doing there. Because there are several cards in that deck that are just that are penalties, yeah. That they go, they try to put these two cards together, that's wrong, we're going to give
we anticipated how stupid you would be.
Yeah. And then another good thing about this is that on the top of it, those cards, so if you did that and combined the two and got a new card, at the top it tells you what cards to get rid of.
Okay.
So it'll say, like, you just put 17 and 13 together, it'll say at the top, we'll have a little bubble with those two in it and a little slash. That means they're out of the game completely.
Okay. Signifying, you've used the key.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
Do not think about them anymore. So you've still got those, your other yellows and greens sitting on the table, and you start to kind of combine them as you go along. And that's pretty much the basis how every kind of game works. And also I should have mentioned something quite cool, actually, that there is a 10 card tutorial that comes with this game, which shows you how these mechanic works. And you can pretty much just play that without reading the rule book, and you'll know how the game works.
Oh, that's clever, yeah.
Yeah. And once you play that, you can, you know, put that back in the box. But also another cool thing about that is a free print and play on their website as well. So you can print and play those 10 cards to give you an idea of how this game works and then think, I like this idea, to see if you wanted to buy the rest of the game.
Oh, the other thing, I guess, is having friends over,
yeah.
You could... get them to download that, play it, and then they come and they know how the game's there. Or I guess you could play that.
But the tutorial, I did watch a Tom Vassell sort of spoiler-free thing on this afternoon as my attempt at research, and that intro session goes for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very brief introduction.
It is literally, like I said before, like there's a couple of the blue and reds, which are the ones you combine, because you always combine blue and red. It's never a blue and a blue or a red and a red. It's always a blue and a red you can combine. And there's like one green and one yellow and like two greys. That's what the tutorial is. Mm. Whereas the actual big game itself is a pack of 60, where most of those cards are like that. And it is like an escape room. You're playing kind of through a story. There'll be little flavor text things, so you'll work out more of what you're going on. So the two that we played, as I said, we played Squeak and Sausage first off, which is a cartoony adventure in which you try...
Through what? I mean, what is a Squeak and Sausage? Is it a cooking class? Is it a softcore porno? What's going on?
It's a bit of both. On the cover, there is a clown and a mouse running away with a sausage. So,
It's a bit of like Heckle and Jekyll or Coyote and the Roadrunner or
kind of
Itchy and Scratchy type thing, is it?
Kind of. There's this evil professor called Professor No Side, which is just a weird word, like No Side. And from activating his Doomsday device, he's very clever and he... Basically, you have to try and save the world.
Oh.
But there ends up being... There's a mouse and a sausage involved. Just, okay. That could be my little spoiler-free. There is a mouse and a sausage involved. And then... You're completely done? So then the other one was the formula. The formula is more your kind of standard escape room type of game, whereas in you go to this science basement... In New York City, science basement.
Science basement!
I'm so tired. The day I've had... I've been on radio twice today. I'm famous now. A laboratory, even. Dr. Hoffman's laboratory, which is full of traps and puzzles and stuff, and you've got to get a serum and escape. So they're the two that we played. Yep. And then the third one, which is the island of Dr. Gorshk, is much more complex, apparently, the third one, which we hadn't played yet. The first two were... They weren't hard, but mm-hmm. They weren't easy necessarily, but they were just kind of nicely in the middle.
Were they fun?
Yeah, they were kind of.
And okay. So did you say, I wasn't paying attention at the start,
of course.
The whole 60 cards, that's the one
scenario.
Adventure?
Yep.
So there's three of these decks in there.
Yes. Okay.
Now what you haven't mentioned also, which I think is a great plus for this, is that it is replayable.
It is.
Because it is just a deck of cards, all the people who have played it and hopefully solved it need to do is put all the cards in the same direction so that all you're seeing is the numbers.
Yep, it doesn't even matter if they're in the right order.
No,
it doesn't,
because all you're looking for is the numbers on the back of the cards, and you can hand it to your friends and go, there you go, have a go.
As long as they've got the app and they do that. Although there is something that... This isn't a spoiler necessarily, however, there was one thing in the Sausage and Squeak right near the end that there was a puzzle, and you can get hints on the app, I forgot to say that as well, which can come in handy, because in real life when we have the escape rooms we've gone to, they offer hints if you get really stuck, which is nice. We try not to do them because we have egos and whatnot, but there was one of them we offered a hint, and we just couldn't figure out this puzzle. We knew what it was in front of us, we're like, but we just can't get it, and the solution ended up being something that I was not a fan of at all, and everyone around the table went... and we'd actually look at some reviews just afterwards, and pretty much everyone said this game was like a 4 out of 10 for me. I enjoyed it, but this one puzzle knocked it to like a 2 out of 10.
Oh wow!
This is just an absolute joke.
It wasn't like get it M38 again, was it?
Oh, our famous.
Not that we'll spoil that one.
Get it M, but no, it sadly was not that kind of thing.
So Leon, now
you.
Sorry, are you done?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I just want to ask you, because I haven't played any of these games. Now, you've played Escape Room, the game.
Yes.
You played Escape, the room. They're also imaginatively titled.
Yeah.
And now you played Unlocked.
Yes.
So you haven't played Exit,
the
game.
The one that's been nominated for the Spiel des Jahres.
Supposedly the good one. But
but I do have it, and we will play it. It probably will be talked about sometime in the next few weeks, because I do have it and plan to play it very soon.
So of those three, though, that you have played, Escape Room, the game, Escape the Room, and Unlocked, how sort of rank them for us?
Well, ironically, Unlock is, as I said before, by the biggest company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of, like, production-wise, it looks the most produced. it's by far the one I enjoy the least out of all of them. By far, because... Mainly because, as I said before, like, we took the piss out of the Chrono Decoder, but it is still a thing. It's an item on the table. It is just a deck of cards.
Yeah.
You're flicking through a deck of cards when you're playing with your friends. And it's nice and all, but it's kind of... Like, each of them took us about 40 minutes. But it just, we got to the end of it and we're like, huh.
Yeah, well, I think that the whole thing about an escape room is you've got to suspend your disbelief. You've got to believe I'm locked inside this courtroom or this prison or this whatever.
Yep.
And it's hard to do that when all you're doing is flicking over a card. And, like, it says it plays 1-6 or 2-6 in the third scenario.
Yeah.
But what you've got to realise is that all of you are trying to look at this one little card at one time and trying to picture, you know, a couple of codes out of there or trying to figure out a puzzle or what have you. So that would be hard with the higher player numbers in this game.
Yeah, well, whereas, you know, I have no trouble all suspending my belief that I'm a cave farming dwarf with donkeys.
Yep.
But then every now and again I go out to gather a cow and some dirt and go on an adventure. I mean, that's just sort of like the thing I do.
Well, that's most weekends.
Yeah,
that's right. Mania full stop.
Compared to these other games where, like, the one-off box ones that we had, which is the... I can't remember what it's called. Escape Room, the game. Yeah, that's the ones in the box. But they're just the one-off scenarios. In those, they have different envelopes that have things on, like, different little pieces you've got to put together, or puzzles on bits of paper, or different things you've got to fold. It's got props. You're actually doing stuff with your hands like an escape room, whereas this, there isn't. But the thing is, this has been got some sort of positivity behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated for a French award, which I'm going to butcher the name of.
Probably.
This is the As d'Or... which is an award they give in Cannes, France, at the Festival International de Jeux, or the Golden Ace, it's called. It's a big gaming thing. But the category that this was nominated in, and I believe it won, although I'm not 100% because BGG was kind of a bit vague on this.
I said it does.
It's like the social category is what it was nominated in. Previous winners of this category have been... I had a list. Where's it gone? Oh, my list has run away. That's annoying. Oh, no, there it is. Previous winners have been Time's Up, Dixit, Skull, Concept, Cult Express, Mysterium.
So it's sort of more your party type games.
I own every single one of those games I just listed. And this year, it was between Unlock, King Domino, which I have heard about but haven't played, Imagine, and Codenames.
Mm.
And this won.
Something beat Codenames at something.
And the final thing I will mention, as you said before, you watched Tom Vassell's review on it. So I played the first two scenarios, and I was like, yeah, they're all right. Maybe the third one that's a bit harder might be a bit more fun. He himself, at the end of his video, said he would rate the scenarios that I played about 8 out of 10. He liked them more than I did. He liked them quite a bit. He said, for that final scenario, where it splits you into teams of two, which is weird for an escape room, but an interesting idea, he said he'd probably give that a good 3 out of 10. he didn't like it.
Oh, really?
He hated that at all. So if that's going to be my least favourite two out of this box... I'm saying buy the escape room, the game one with the chrono decoder. Because it's got four in the box, and it looks cheap. It looks like something you'd find in a massive department store. But it's good. We've played two of them, and they were crackers.
They're just fun.
Exactly. And I think probably end up being the same price as this. And you get a big plastic thing. You put keys in, and it goes... So, yeah, Unlock, give it a crack, but wasn't my favourite.
All right, we're going to come back after this and hear all about what Garth has been up to and our good friends polymorph.com.au, polymorphgames.com.au are going to come back with us.
That was Citizen K with Life Gives You Lemons on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh, proudly brought to you by polymorphgames.com.au, the closest internet store you can get to a brick and mortar...
A brick and mortar store.
A brick and mortar and... I was even going to say it. And a Rick and Morty store as well.
Wubba dubba lubba.
Yes, indeed. Now, Garth.
Hello.
We've been here in the freezing cold and you've been off gallivanting around on... beaches and France and stuff.
Yeah.
Why have you done that to us? Why?
I have to travel for work sometimes. Sorry, boys. So, yeah, in the last month, Laos and Thailand and Abu Dhabi and Paris and, you know, it's been tough. How's it been here?
You've been posting those photos. Sometimes I was like, yeah, I know where Garth is, you know, when you're in the Louvre or that sort of thing. But other times I was like... where the hell is Garth? He's got a hair net on and a face net?
Yeah, well, I had to protect myself. That was Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi before I got to ride some go-karts. And won! Fastest lap, I'll have you know, in all of Abu Dhabi.
Really?
Well, all of Ferrari World for my one session. That's pretty cool.
I thought Ferrari World must have been in, like, Italy?
Nope.
Abu Dhabi,
eh? Yeah, it was great fun. Anyway... seeing as I have spent the last 25 hours travelling, a bit longer than that, I have been on lots of planes, lots of trains, lots of automobiles in the last month. I thought I would give you an iOS update based on the fact that I've had a lot of time to play these games lately. Because as good as some in-flight entertainment may be on certain airlines, it reaches a point where you've watched everything.
Yeah, you get sick of those movies after a while.
Did you watch anything good?
Not particularly.
No, wicked.
Yeah, it was fun. I watched John Wick Chapter 2 last night.
Oh, yeah,
I
want to see
how was it?
You killed lots of people.
Oh, shocking.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
I went through a whole escape room in a box thing, no spoilers, and you, John Wick, say you kill people. I know, I've done it.
I know.
Anyway,
so yeah, look, I'm going to touch on the first one, which is Splendor. Now, this is an app that has been around for several years now and is still one of the best implementations of a board game on iOS. Now, don't know, don't care about Android, because are they even mobile these days? I don't know, Mark.
And who?
What? Yeah.
So, look, I had a very weird experience when I was in Laos, particularly, when I said, I do a radio show and podcast. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then they said, what is it on? And I went, board games. And someone said, not only that, wow, that's cool, but she then showed me a photo and said, here's my collection.
Of board games?
Of board games.
Wow.
And there was Splendor, and there was Dixit, and there was a few other decent games there, Catan and what have you.
And then she liked our Facebook page and Instagram, didn't she?
She sure did.
Oh, did she? I was actually taking the piss because I didn't notice.
Okay. Well, we have so many followers now.
That's true. It's hard to keep track of all our adoring fans.
So anyway, as soon as I, you know, struck up a bit of a conversation, we then started playing quite a bit of Splendor. Now,
for real or on the app?
On the app, because we were in Vang Vien, so in the middle of nowhere in Laos, famous for its tubing and people dying. So we went and played this game in a pub in Laos with my little phone, and it was so cool that we were able to share that experience.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Because there is no way I would have been carrying around Splendor, nice as it is, around. So that was brilliant. So I got to play Splendor with a real human, not a person sitting on their own toilet in another part of the world, in a pub in Laos.
Was cool. Was there a time when they went to the toilet and you went to the toilet near them and you were still playing it?
Yes. No, because it was all
passing it under the cubicle.
Who knows? So, look, that was brilliant. I just wanted to say Splendor, fantastic. And because it plays 2, 3, or 4 players, we're able to go around and share it. Now, the other ones I want to talk about are these little solo experiences, because I did have plenty of time waiting in airports before and after flights and before I would met up with the other people in my group. So the one that I've been playing probably most out of all of them is Card Crawl. Now, again, it's been around a few years and there's the newer version and that's all good and well, but it cost more money than Card Crawl and I thought I'd start at the beginning.
Wasn't Card Crawl free?
No. It wasn't.
Wasn't it? That's how long ago it was. Because I used to play it a lot, and then I sort of got bored of it. And I'd been hanging out for the new one, Card Thief, to come.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been released on Android.
Well, it is on iTunes, but I've already, you know, got my $4 worth out of Card Crawl, so maybe I have to go and try Card Thief. But look, Card Crawl is basically a solitaire dungeon crawler. You've got this randomized deck of 54 cards that come out, and you've got to basically use the cards that are beneficial for you, be it swords or shields or potions, to try and stay alive and fight the various monsters that are going to get flung at you. You've got gold that you want to try and accrue, because basically the better your score is how much gold you've got.
Yeah.
And that then unlocks where you get the ability to buy more cards using the in-game currency and do the daily challenges and all of that kind of stuff. That'll give you more gold and more this and more that. But it is a really fun, simple to pick up. My kids love it. They both can play it now really, really easily. And it's only, I think, $4 at the moment, so it's a pretty good value proposition. And I think it looks really nice. It's got a lot of variable ability cards that once you start to unlock them, make the game a bit more interesting. And that's something that I like. It's also over and done with in sort of 5 to 10 minutes, which is great.
Yeah, and the fact that you like it is really cool, because solitaire board games, obviously, their biggest competition is video games,
correct,
which are awesome. Whereas solitaire kind of board game card games on iOS, then they're definitely their biggest competition is video games, because they are literally sitting right there adjacent to you. So if they're still doing well for themselves, that's great.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Mm. And it was just, it's an easy way to kill 5 to 10 minutes to a couple of hours, because you rinse and repeat so quickly. You live, you die, you get some gold, you unlock some new cards, you use those new cards and you go on and on and on and on.
And I used to like it at work, because I would get sort of a little bit of time every now and again.
Yeah.
And it's not the sort of thing we have to remember, oh, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nice and simple.
Exactly right. Right, so that one has been going gangbusters on my phone. The next one, which again, we all talked about ages ago, which is Honorim.
Oh, yes.
Now, that came out on iOS not too long ago, and I picked that one up because, again, Trent gave us the copy a little while back to share with my kids, and we played it. But all that shuffling of cards and all of that tactility and all of the fact that you have to spend time doing stuff. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No stuff.
Exactly. So this app is a really simple and effective implementation of, for the most part, the base game. However, very, very recently, they have released the Glyphs expansion, which goes from having just the couple of, was it the two different symbols? Sorry, three including keys on the card.
Yes,
it adds a fourth symbol, which then makes the chaining of getting three of the same colour that aren't the same symbol easier.
Yeah.
So it makes that a bit easier, but the downside of that is it means you now have to get three of every door rather than two of every door in the base game.
That makes it quite a bit more difficult, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it also makes the deck a bit thicker.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You've got 80 cards, I think, instead of 60.
Yeah.
And it is a free update as long as you register and create an Asmodee account, which is also free to do. So I think it's nice that they're giving you the free expansion on it. They're talking very, very soon that there's going to be something a lot more substantial coming out in the expansion.
Okay.
So I believe there's 7 expansions or something.
There were a lot in
effect.
The box. Yeah.
So fingers crossed they'll bring those out. But it was great to get that first expansion for zero money, because I'm a fan of not paying.
Well, I actually got Onirim for zero money because I think it was friend of the show Rachel posted on Facebook saying, I think it was like a today only, because they had released the Glyphs expansion, for just that one day you could get the actual base game for free.
Fantastic.
So I picked it up.
Oh, as you
haven't played it yet.
Oh, well, it's great. And look, again, as a father to two not so young children anymore, they love that game.
Yep.
They play it nonstop. So again, I tip my hat, because that is brilliant and so much fun.
Cool.
Now, to stuff that is coming up, to stuff that is potentially interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first one I wanted to mention is one of the hardest co-op games that we have ever had the privilege to play, and that is
Flashpoint Fire Rescue.
Correct.
Oh.
Well done, Mark. Now, it is currently on a website called FIG. FIG.co, which is a crowdfunding website all about video games.
Ah.
So what they being Retro Epic Software, the company behind Flashpoint Fire Rescue, are trying to do is essentially create the board game into the video game experience. They've got a whole bunch of 3D, really good-looking screenshots that show you basically, you know, the various house shapes, the various survivors or people that you've got to try and rescue, all the various firemen. Look, it's currently under crowdfunding. It's just over 50% of the way there. It's going for 30,000 and it's got just over 15,000.
Yeah.
They've got 27 days to go, so they've got a fair bit of time, but it's a pretty low benchmark for an app implementation, so I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money, is it?
Exactly. So I don't think they've got much wriggle room
particularly
there.
Particularly given, and you've just brought up a picture on the computer here that, of course, doesn't translate well into radio, but it's not just a picture of the board game in electronic form. It's actually like the whole...
Yeah,
it looks like a real computer game.
Correct. It's a full 3D house experience.
So that's what I was going to say. So is this an app, or is this like going to be a Steam game type of thing?
Yeah, so that's a really good question.
Thank you. I didn't even know. look at me.
So, yes, it's going to be a game.
It says PC and mobile platforms.
There we go. Oh, so it does. I didn't even look at that.
There you go.
So, good answer, Mark. Well done.
There you go.
What's Garth here for again?
Shush.
We haven't missed him, really, have we?
No, not particularly. I haven't listened to the last couple of episodes. I'm assuming you're nice to me. Now, the last one I want to talk about, and this is really just because we can, is that... This little game, Hand of Fate Ordeals, that has been going out passed $200,000 not too long ago. Yeah. So congratulations to Rule and Make. But again, I just want to really focus on the fact that you get a free Steam version of the game.
I can't
wait. It's going to be awesome.
I want to really try that game.
You two are both backers of this game, so that's pretty spectacular. It looks like, you know, it looks like that game could be on iOS. It looks like it would fit that.
It would not take much.
Oh, man. So,
but then, well, they've got Hand of Fate 2, which is coming out, I don't know how far away, but down the track, Hand of Fate 2 is coming out. But, look, don't want to let it go. Hand of Fate colon Ordeals is now the highest, the biggest, funded? The most funded Australian board game campaign. So major kudos to Rule and Make for that one.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
If only they'd advertise it better. Joking, that will. Anyway. They know what got them their 200,000.
Yeah, so that's look, right. That's what my last month or so have been. I have lost days and days sitting in airports, sitting on aeroplanes, sitting in buses, and all of that. I know it sounds horrible.
All while getting a paycheck?
Correct.
Oh, that's
tough.
It's a hard life that you lead.
Yeah. So anyway, the main thing that I've learned after all of this is that I need to get a power bank because these things churn through the battery life. Thankfully, a lot of planes these days have little USB ports so you can stick your charger in. Mm. Buses, not so much. Trains, not always. Mm. So they churn through the battery, especially these beautiful games, which, you know, particularly like Splendor, they just look so good, but oh my God, do they just destroy your battery life. Yeah. So that's all. Okay. I'm now back for a grand total of this show before we are not on next week because we're all going away to BorderCon. Yes. So that's exciting. We should talk about that, right?
Perhaps.
I've got an idea. Let's come back and talk about maybe some of the games we're looking forward to playing at BorderCon.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Right after this. But in the meantime, I've got two words for you.
Yeah?
Language warning.
Ooh.
You know, here at the Dice Men, we take punctuation very seriously. Especially the colon. The colon is never too far from our thoughts. We like a bit of colon action. And we also like to thank the good people at Rule and Make. Alan, Alistair, and Dave, and Jason, and the other people who we don't know, but we're sure they're all lovely. We want to thank Rule and Make for supporting the Dice Men and for taking this show seriously enough to actually come here and visit us. And we also want to thank them for making such a great game with a colon in the title, Hand of Fate, colon, Ordeals. Their Kickstarter campaign for this fantastic title is now in its last weeks. It has smashed its goals, and they're at the stage where they're throwing in a whole bunch of extra stuff now because they know they've got people's support, so they're able to really realize the game as they originally envisioned it when they first thought about transferring Defiant Development's fantastic video game into the physical space. It's the game of life and death and ridiculous amounts of cards and miniatures which are possibly unnecessary for gameplay, but hey, you got to have miniatures on Kickstarter, and besides, it's a hell of a lot better than just having a bit of cardboard or a rock to mark out your character as they explore the vast lands of a kingdom rife with beasts and foes and loot, and you dick build your way to glory. You gear up to become an unstoppable killing machine, and you vanquish the Jack, the Queen, and the King. And all of this can be shuffled and replayed with heaps of variety. Pledge now on Kickstarter before it's too late. There's a couple of different pledge levels to get into. There's some exclusive Kickstarter goodies, over 300 cards, and they all look great. Rule and Make are building a game franchise with Hand of Fate. And if you want to be on board this at the very start, now is your chance. Delivery of Hand of Fate colon Ordeals is expected in November. It's Rule and Make's 8th Kickstarter, so these guys know what they're doing. They know how to use a colon correctly, and you know it's going to be fantastic because it's got a colon in it like a good sausage.
Oh, dearie me, you are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Leon, please make sure you edit out that song very well.
It's going to be a very quick edit. Normally I run the song for a few seconds just to give you a little beat just for funsies. Yeah, that ain't happening.
No, so as soon as Mark says, warning language alert.
Yes.
Well, look, double standard by the Frangipanis on Edge Radio 99.3 FM was programmed by Edge Radio 99.3 FM, not by me, okay?
That's all right. That's fine. So, thank you very much.
Let's bite the hand that feeds, shall we?
Anyway, Let's move back to where we were talking a couple of moments ago, which is all about BorderCon. Now, the good thing is there are going to be lots of games that we will be playing at BorderCon. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, there's a fair chance some of those games may be available for purchase already. So if you do want to purchase some games, you might want to try polymorphgames.com.au.
Oh, look what it did there.
I see what beautiful. You did there.
Exactly. They do offer currently 25% off on their end of financial year stock take sale. Just jump onto their website and have a look.
Yeah, and in fact, one of the games on my list, which I'll get to in a minute, I do have a copy coming.
Really?
From Polymorph.
I know what this is.
But they've been out of stock. In fact, everywhere has been out of stock. Look, I won't tease it too long. It's Clank, a deck-building adventure. Now, I am a deck-building crazy man. I build the decks like no other, and I love the deck builders. Been trying to get my hands on this, and Neil from Polymorph has been trying to scare me up a copy, and they are scarce. But I'm hoping that someone at BorderCon has one, because I'd love to try it. Now, this is by Paul Denon, and of course, it's a dungeon crawl deck builder, not unlike that other dungeon crawl deck builder we've just been talking so much about the last few weeks. But this one,
there was probably an ad for about 20 seconds earlier.
There may have been.
We haven't recorded yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be in there.
But the interesting thing about this one is you're not like fighting your way through a dungeon, you're sneaking your way through a dungeon. And the clank in the title refers to like you making noise, which then alerts the things, whatever they are, in the dungeon to your presence. Mm. So it reminds me a lot of the old, going old school, really, the old Thief video game where you're sneaking around trying to not fight things. So I'm really excited about that one. That was actually number 6 on my list. I've jumped straight to it.
There we go.
It was number 11 on mine.
There you go. Well, you want to know what number 1 on my list was?
Sure.
It was Hand of Fate, colon, Ordeals, because this is hot news right off the presses. We, the Dice Man Cometh, are going to have a copy, preview copy, of Hand of Fate Ordeals at BorderCon for people to try.
Yeah, which would be amazing.
So I'm excited about that. Rule of Make and Defiant Development giving us a preview copy. Now, obviously, it won't be final because the final copy hasn't still been made, but people are going to be able to get the chance to see it, to play it, and still with time to jump on the Kickstarter campaign.
And much like last year where there was a preview copy, we wrote a preview copy of Burger Up ourselves for Rule and Make, and there was also a preview copy of Unfair from Good Games Publishing, and both those games pretty much never returned to the gaming shelves all weekend because they were on the table constantly.
Yeah. So one that, and now, an interesting thing about this list that I made is, at first I thought, oh, there's going to be all these brand new games that I'm wanting to play. Mm. Well, almost all of these on my list are not brand new games.
Yeah,
you know, same as mine.
This is this dilemma of the hobby that there are so many games to come out, that there's still great games from 2016, 2015, even 2014 that I haven't managed to play yet.
Not so, even the mid-80s? You don't want to play DeMarca?
Oh, don't tempt me. It takes too long. That's the trouble. And I think that's, you know, I mean, obviously it is good at something like BorderCon to play those longer games. Like last time we played the coin game.
Oh, yes.
With the Roman Asterix Empire. Asterix and Obelix,
What was it called? Oh, my gosh, Falling Sky.
That's right. Falling Sky, you know, for 5 hours, which wasn't even a complete game.
Short version. I was going to say, I debate you played it.
We played one winter out of three.
Yeah. And it is great at BorderCon to try games like that, but at the same time is so precious because there's so many games to play, you don't want to tie up. So I don't think I've got anything here that's like a massive, massive game, but although this one could count a little bit. So Uwe Rosenberg, you know, A Feast for Odin. You got that on your
list,
Sugar?
You're destroying my list here, Mark. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
That's not a massive game at all. You'll definitely knock that over in about 20 minutes, surely.
I know I was eyeing it off last year, thinking, will I, won't I? And the fact that I haven't got to it at all means it has to be on my list for this year. I really must get to it.
Yeah, there were people playing that at PAX.
Were they ever?
While we were playing four or five other games at the same time.
But it looks so cool. Yeah. I mean, Uwe certainly knows how to make a big, heavy, thinky, chunky, but lots of beautiful pieces style of game. So I would love to get that to the table.
I'm sure there's going to be a 12 million copies of that one there.
I'd say that's a big Sunday afternoon kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Leon, have you got a big Sunday afternoon game on your list?
I haven't got anything very big at all, I'm afraid. They're all, I'm just this new generation of kids. We can't play anything for more than 5 minutes.
Concentration span, yeah.
At the top of my list is a game that I actually know that I am playing because I've teed it up with a good listener of the show and friend of ours, Richard. Hello, Richard. Project Elite.
Which is
like the real-time... the tower defense-y type of thing. It was Tom Vassell's game of the year last year, which is probably the only way anyone's ever heard of it because it hasn't got a lot of buzz other than that. But it's supposed to be really, really good.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Well, it's funny because, again, with my list, I think virtually, well, you can't really call Clank a Euro maybe and Hand of Fate isn't a Euro, but everything else are all these great Euro games that I just haven't got to the table. So... Inish, I think, is the correct pronunciation.
I'm putting that on the list.
Yeah, you know, the game of Celtic tribes, area control, groovy, got a couple of little plastic miniatures, but it's sort of gaining control and moving across the board and building the board. And a lot of people
said, what do you think about the art?
Yeah, you know, I don't like the box. The colours the colours are a bit funny for Celtic. But look, Christian Martinez, I think it is. It's got a lot of good vibes in this game. A lot of people talking lots of good stuff about it.
Yeah.
So I have to give it a try.
And it's kind of the unofficial third game in the trilogy of Cyclades and Comet, which are two of our favourite games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Still need to play Titans.
Cyclades Titans is on my list. I'm nearly convinced that we should bring... I know I don't want to bring both the boxes, but maybe we could just bring Titans and someone's brought Cyclades and we could get it done.
Both boxes would just fit in one suitcase and then the suitcase is full. That's
And look, I'm going to blame Shut Up and Sit Down for a couple of games on this list because Inish was one they raved about and also Dream Home.
You know,
which is like building and furnishing your perfect dream home, funny enough, by Clemens Kalicki. I don't know if he's made any games before, but this has very cartoony looking art, looks a bit sort of SimCity type computer gamey, but it just sounds really fun in that vein of... you know, like Castles of Mad King Ludwig or Suburbia, where you are building your dream home, like being an architect, because who doesn't want to be an architect?
Yeah, me.
And it looks like a lot of fun. I mean...
I think it looks like a bit of fun. It looks like it's very cutesy. I'm a bit unsure whether or not I would care about this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks nice. You combine and I have the best house because I've got four toilets. I win. There we go. So, look, the game that I'm really excited to play, so hopefully someone will bring it and hopefully it'll be there, is This War of Mine.
Oh, yes. Now, so is it out? I think...
I've seen unboxing videos from a couple of days ago. I don't know whether they're Australian or not. But please, just someone bring it and invite me along because... The iPad game was just stunning. It was also available on, I think, Steam as well.
It was on everything. Everything.
And it was just, it looks really cool. I just want this experience to just take me back to that first time I played it because, oh my God, it's a war game like no other because you are just trying to survive. You're not a big bad trying to squish anybody. You're not fighting someone else apart from... the other survivors.
Yeah, much like The Grizzled, again, one of our favourite games, where it just shows the fact that war is hell, and it ain't going to get no better.
Yeah.
Just kind of deal with it.
I think I almost cried when my main backpack guy, what was his name, Marcus or whatever?
Yeah, and, probably Marcus, yes.
And he was my guy because he could fit so much extra stuff in his bag. And the night that he got killed, oh my, I just about gave up on the game then. I was so distraught.
Just a little side note, seeing as you mentioned The Grizzled, I drove past the side of Charlie Hebdo a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Screw you.
Leon?
Yes. Next on the list, surprise, surprise, a bit of Euro, not, I was about to say Euro trash. No. Ameritrash goodness. Adrenaline, which we've talked about before. The first-person shooter with the big happy face ball on the cover.
Yeah, like shooting Pac-Man people. With guns.
Yeah, which is odd. Just because.
But it's Czech Games Edition.
Yeah.
It's first person.
It supposedly is quite Euro-y, so Eurotrash might be a correct assumption.
Well, here we go.
Well, I got one here now. I have to apologise to Aaron Lim, because he, from the Action Points podcast, he invited me to play last year at BorderCon, La Granja, and I ended up having to pull out of that to play something else. I can't even remember what, must have made much of an impression. Now, I've heard mixed thoughts about this game, but it has the multi-use cards, it has dice, it's farming, because, you know, everyone loves a good farming game, but it's farming in Spain, just for something different. Michael Keller and Andreas Odendahl, and I like the look of it. It's got the sliding the cards under the board and all these sort of slotty things. I would like to give it a try.
Yeah, I think that's all fair enough. Now, switching from farming to cow moving around.
For the love of God, lads.
Oh, yeah, I've got this one.
Yeah?
The Field of...
Western Trail by Alexander Pfister. Come on, this game constantly gets great reviews. And again, bloody shut up and sit down. Yeah. I haven't watched their videos for months. And I watch this one and then I go, I need this game. Mm. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be able to play it, because it just looks like it's one of those games that there's... only a couple of decisions that you ever have to make on one turn. And, and that's what I really, really like, is it's not I've got to choose one of a dozen things to do. It is I've got a couple of things to decide on. Both of them will be okay. It's just which one's going to be my long-term strategy.
Yeah, and of course on the recommended list for the Kenner Spiel as well. Now, and I'll jump in here because I had another Alexander Pfister. I'm looking for another Pfister. Mombasa.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen, particularly I've seen... like Terry and Merrin, our good friends, and Joe and Cameron, our good friends, and now they're all living in the same city, the bastards, and they get to play games together. And I've seen this one pop up a few times for them. I don't know much about it, except it's not trading in the Mediterranean. It's trading in Africa, just for something completely different.
Ooh, well, that sounds exciting, but it's not only Africa where you can do trading. You can also trade in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a place called Yokohama.
Oh,
more
yes,
explicitly, a game called Yokohama, which we have been lucky enough to get a copy of not too long ago. I don't even think it's been opened yet because it's in that current pile of shame that we have.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I just haven't been here, so I know you don't play games without me.
That's right.
But look, TMG very kindly sent us a copy of this not too long ago. Trading through Japan, you're all rival businesses trying to be the best business.
Have you got any trading games, Leon?
Trading games? No, yeah, no, I do. I've got a trading game. I can't believe I haven't bought this trading game yet. Last Friday, which is where, where you're trading in your life to a not-at-all Jason Voorhees-type character. So, yeah, so Hidden Roles, Camp Crystal Lake rip-off, teenagers running around, you've got to hunt them down. I don't know why I have not bought this game yet.
Yeah.
There's no good reason, and I'm hoping it'll be there so we can give it a play. Before you go taking over, I'll just quickly run through some of the other ones on my list quickly. The Scythe again, because we haven't played Scythe enough. With the expansion, we haven't done yet.
Yep.
We talked the other week about the new Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to play the first one. I've just never had a chance to, so that would be cool. Captain Sonar.
We've seen it.
Yeah. BorderCon would be a good place to play it.
Oh, yeah, with eight.
Yeah. Role Player, which is a game I'm interested in, which I've seen pop up of late.
You can play it on Tabletopia.
Ooh, interesting. Beyond Baker Street, which is the Hanabi-type game, but with the Sherlock-y theme. That's been out... Most of these games, again, have been out for a while. Just haven't got around to playing them. And also Mechs versus Minions.
Oh, yeah, that was on my list as well.
And I know that it's coming.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay. Yes. Well, look, I mean, another one, another big Euro that I've seen a lot of people playing and I just never got to, Concordia, which, you know, just to throw in some training in the Mediterranean. Look, I know you might not believe it because I did so badly in it, but I'd love to do Istanbul again.
Istanbul at PAX was so good.
It was really good.
I expected nothing from that because obviously not my kind of game, but we had the best time playing that.
Yeah, and look, a couple of older ones that I've only played, I think, once, and I really, really enjoyed, and I just haven't seen them around, are Snowdonia, which we did at BorderCon. I think I did it like 3 years ago at BorderCon, and Le Havre, which is such a brilliant game, but I've just never known someone who's had it.
That is the one massive Euro I've always wanted to play and just haven't got a chance.
Have you got any left, Gar?
Look, I've got a classic and I just want to play Cosmic Encounter with everything, with every new player.
Yeah.
And I just want to be really mean and nasty for a little bit because that'd be fun.
I mean, seriously, if we play Cosmic Encounter for 4 days straight, I'm happy with that.
Exactly. And look, I want to throw something out there a little bit left of field, and I want to take the opportunity with all the games that will be there to play Code Games, which is a game of code names, but using board game boxes instead of cards.
Okay.
Cheeky.
And see if we can make that happen. I've seen it happen a couple of times online. I reckon it could be a bit of fun or a horrible disaster.
Well, look, I reckon we are going to play a whole lot of games at BorderCon. I think last time we came back, we'd all played maybe like 20 games over the weekend or something.
I played nothing but new games last time. Yeah, I played no games I hadn't played before.
Well, look, we've got to wrap up. Now, before we go, though, we've got to mention our Burger Up competition. I think we're going to run it for another, until we get up back from BorderCon.
Yep.
So you've got two more weeks to post a photo of yourself, just like Leon did, although he can't enter.
There is no excuse, because if you saw that photo of me, it is the worst photo I've taken in my adult life. I looked horrendous. I was sick as a dog.
How did you take that photo?
I have a wife.
Oh, so you didn't take the photo.
No, okay. Who is lovely, who takes horrible photos of me.
So most people have been sending them to us at dicemencometh@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can also tag us on Instagram, #dicemencometh or @dicemencometh. You can post it on our Facebook page.
Yep, you can also tweet it to us.
Yeah, you can do all those things.
You can also post it to us if you wanted to, but you'll need to email us for an address.
Yeah.
But remember, three copies of the Kickstarter version of Burger Up, I was going to say. that's the Star Trek version. So we're going to be out of here. We are not going to be back next week, so don't listen in, although you can listen to the podcast. And thanks so much to Polymorph Games and Hobbies, who have supported us tonight and over the next few weeks, and they've got their amazing StockTake sale. The code STOCKTAKE in capital letters. Get you 25% off. Check them out online. We'll see you at BorderCon, hopefully lots of you.
Woo!
Otherwise, we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye. Woo.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh, thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. You can say hello to the Dice Men on Facebook, Instagram, and www.dicemencometh.com. You can support us by leaving a review on iTunes or by becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as just $1 per month. Thank you.